This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Rosebank in Johannesburg today to talk to Antonio Nunes. He is CEO of Angola Cables, and I've been looking forward to this discussion for some time. Antonio, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for chatting to us today.
Thank you.
So, Angola, you're based in Luanda. I see headlines from time to time about what's happening in Angola, but I don't have a good picture. I suspect many South Africans don't really have a good picture of what is happening in Angola from an economic and a political perspective. So maybe we could start there. Maybe, if you don't mind, just give me an overview of the Angolan economy and the political changes that have happened up there and what they mean.
Good. So starting from there, in terms of the political changes, it's a normal process. We are a democratic country. So we have elections and we have a new president, okay? The new president have a new philosophy, which is creating a new credibility for the international investors, okay? And this is really what we are doing now in terms of economy. You probably know that Angola is really based on the oil industry, and we are suffering a lot because of that oil drop price. But I think the new concept and the new philosophy is really changing a bit, only depending on the oil industry. And this is one of the things that the president is doing today. So he's trying to promote that and trying to move that industry as the main core of the business in Angola. So, I mean, we are now in a process to change, and all the process, all the changes are painful. So I think this is now one of the ways to go out. But my feeling is that the economy is starting to come from the bottom. Okay, the government have also announced that until 2020, we still have problems in terms of the growth of the country itself. But the things are improving, and this is what we really should move on. For example, we now are facilitating the visas for some of the countries in Africa. South Africa is one of them. So Angolans and South Africans can now move much, much easier. That's one of the steps that is really interesting to facilitate that business exchange. We have another problem, which is the Kwanza rate, okay? This is also one of the things that the central bank is working on it in order to change that situation. So the things are improving slowly, but are going forward.
Okay, but still a very oil-dependent economy. Are there efforts afoot to broaden the economy, to create new industries? You're in the telecommunications industry. Is that seen as a major underpinning of future growth for the Angolan economy?
Yes, I mean, that's what we are, one of the examples, okay, that the government is really promoting this change, because we are a completely different industry from the oil one, and we are completely supported from the government. And this is also one of the moves of Angola Cables. That's the reason why we are so focused on the international footprint, is because we have to show also that we have another type of things that the Angolan economy can do. And ourselves as an Angolan company could promote business even abroad from Angola country.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell me a bit about Angola Cables. How long has it been around? What's the history of the company?
So we start in 2009, and we start with the development of the WACS system. Okay. In fact, at the time we was implementing the WACS.
That's the West African cable system.
Yes.
Which runs along Africa's west coast to Europe.
Exactly. Mm. So in that cable system, we are one of the main shareholders. We are a tier one investor in the WACS. So Angola Cables was created, in fact, on a partnership between the government and the private sector in Angola, the telecom private sector, in fact, because our shareholders are 5 telecom operators. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we come into the market exactly of that, the result of that invitation. So the the governments invite the sector, the private sector to come in, and then Angola Cables come out, okay? So at that time it was implemented because of the international connectivity for the main five national operators. So we don't take care about the business inside Angola. So, for example, we don't have infrastructures in Angola, okay, apart of our data center. Everything else is from our shareholders and also from the local providers, okay? So we mainly take care about the outside connectivity and, of course, of the IP transit that we also provide into Angola. So the reason of Angola Cables is that one. So we build up this company in order to take care about outside works, okay? So today or later on, we decide to invest in a cross-Atlantic cable between Angola and Brazil.
That's the
SACS.
SACS cable, South African, sorry, sub,
South Atlantic.
South Atlantic cable system, right?
Yeah. So we decide to invest on that cable, and then when we was doing our business case, we decide to invest a little bit longer or a little bit more, in order to have a longer connectivity for the cable, so that we could be connecting to South America and the North American region. And that's the reason why we also invest in Monet. Okay, we have another cable also in the American coast.
Monet. Is that an existing cable?
This is also a brand new cable. Mm-hmm. So we also build that cable. Monet is... it's not really a consortium because we own our own fiber pairs. We have our own fiber pairs in the cable. And it's not a consortium system, but we have another partners. Okay, on that cable, we have three more partners. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just talk us through the routes then. So the SACS system runs from Luanda to Brazil. Where does it land in Brazil?
In Fortaleza.
Fortaleza. And yeah. Then Monet goes from Fortaleza to?
To Miami. Mm-hmm. And from Fortaleza to São Paulo.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So then we are really on the middle of that. Fortaleza is 6,300 kilometers from Luanda. This is the length of the cable. And then is 4,800 kilometers from São Paulo and 5,300 from Miami. Mm-hmm. So Fortaleza is really in the middle of all these connectivity points.
And there's a lot of subsea cables landing in Fortaleza.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. With our cables, Fortaleza will have 15 cables landing in the same spot.
Why do so many cables land there?
Look, this is a little bit of the... Because of the technology, the old technology, you could not have a cable coming straight from North America down to São Paulo. So you need a middle point. And that middle point was Fortaleza, okay? Of course, with the new technologies, our cable, for example, you can power out our cable directly from Miami straight to São Paulo. But this is a brand new cable, okay? Mm-hmm. So in the past, that's the reason why so many cables were there, is because of the technology. Today, we are using that fault of the technology to create in Fortaleza a hub for interconnectivity in terms of the South American region. And that's also the reason why we are building their data center, okay? In this particular area, which is called Praia do Futuro, if we translate that, is the beach of the future, okay? Which is a very interesting name, even for this new digitalization stuff. Is really very interesting. The local government is creating a digital hub, and we are part of that movement for the digitalization of the region. So the Fortaleza Prefeitura, which is the mayor of the city, and the governor of Ceará, because Brazil, they are also different states, okay, and this is the state of Ceará, is also promoting the three hubs in that region for themselves. This is the fly hub, so they have now a lot of flying connectivities into Fortaleza. Then they are building a partnership with the Holland guys for the ships, mm-hmm. okay, to have also a container hub connectivity point, and with ourselves for the telecommunications interconnection. So Fortaleza will be a quite interesting hub in terms of the South American region area.
Right.
It could be also one alternative to São Paulo or even to Miami, okay, mm-hmm. because it's a middle point.
Yeah. So let's talk us through the reason for the SACS cable. It's obviously going to provide a more direct route to the United States for African countries. But how much of an advantage is that? What are the advantages in terms of latency improvements that you're going to see along that route?
Look, when we talk with about the Brazil connectivity, for example, today the connectivity between Angola and Brazil is around 360 or 350 milliseconds. When we install this cable, we'll be dropped down to 63 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge difference.
So the traffic at the moment, I imagine, must go over the North Atlantic, then down through the States, and then down to South America.
Yeah, so yeah. They have to go to Europe first, and then go to America, or North America, and then go to Brazil. So with this cable, different things could be happening. The first is the latency process. So a lot of software and systems that are latency dependent, they'll be using that connectivity for sure. For example, all the trade financing process between South America and the Middle East or the Far East will be the lowest latency path, okay? Even with Africa. I mean, with Africa, it's quite logical. But if we talk about Asia, it will be really the lowest latency path between South America and Asia. Because today, even all the connectivity have to go up to America, even on the west coast of America, and then cross. And this is a very, very long distance, in fact.
Yeah.
So this is another one. Another very interesting thing is Brazil is developing a lot of different technology. And the technology that they are developing is really based on the new digitalization. They have a lot of devices for agriculture that use already drones or mechanical tractors, or really even the plants. They have sensors on the plants already. So they could provide this technology, and with this low latency path, they could be connecting to farms into Africa. Okay, so is also another way to promote business between Africa and South America. Okay, so this is the second big big reason why we are implementing that. Another one, and also a quite completely new brand route, is that from the point that SACS will be operational, South America will be able to be connected, for example, to Europe, avoiding US. It will be able to connect to Asia, avoiding US and Europe. So it will be a completely new route in terms of the past connectivity. And in the Atlantic itself, we'll become to have a ring into the Atlantic area, which is also quite interesting because today all the main routes are on the north. And with all these global alterations, we don't know what's going to happen with our planet itself. So if we really have really good, completely alternative routes will be probably better to have different parts for the cables.
Right. So where are we in the construction phase of this cable system? Is it almost done?
Yes. We already start the testing of the cable. Okay. So we think we will be able to finalize the tests end of July, beginning of August. So it will really very short time now.
So it's under the sea already, it's been laid?
Oh, yes, yeah. Long time already.
Okay.
So the cable is already there. We have been even already testing the fibers. But the installation in Fortaleza just finished. I come from Fortaleza 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So I arrived yesterday night. In fact, I arrived this morning. I'm lost. But so the installation of the PFCs is already done. Okay, we finish. We go now to start the testing of the system. Mm-hmm. So it will be quite short that we have our dream coming a reality.
So when will the first commercial traffic be flowing across SACS, do you think?
Yeah, this is what we go to see, because the testing will be done,
yeah.
Okay? And our issue is the data center is a little bit late, okay?
So is we this have the one in Luanda or
no, the
Fortaleza?
One in Fortaleza, mm-hmm. Okay? So we have to get a way to starting deploying the service on the SACS system even before the data center is ready. So this is now what we are analyzing, but will be not later than September for sure.
Oh, so it's this year still.
Oh, it will be really quite short.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the capacity of this cable, how much capacity will be available initially, and what's the design capacity of the SACS system?
Look, this cable could support at least 40 tera bytes per second in terms of capacity. We are lighting now two fibers, okay? And the capacity that we go to put them available is in accordance to the demand. So if we have big demand, we light them more. So it's now only a question to buy carts for the slots that are completely ready.
How many fiber pairs are in the system?
Four,
okay. And you're using 40 or 100 gigabit per second? 100 gigs technology, okay. All right. And there's obviously the potential to scale that as the technology improves down.
Because the fibers are new, so this is also the new fibers. Even when the technology will evolve, we will probably jump to 400 gig very quickly.
Before we carry on, I should have asked earlier, what is your background, Antonio? Did you?
I'm an electrical engineer, in fact. Uh-huh. So the 25 volts is really very low voltage. I'm coming from the power system. I'm an electrical engineer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have you always been in the telecommunications field?
Not really. So when I finished my studies, I started working I was working in China, in fact, okay, in Macau, in power plant company. And then I moved to the construction. I was building the Macau International Airport and the Hong Kong International Airport. So my company was doing that. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back to Angola, I was invited to start the mobile network. Okay, so I was part the deployment of the mobile network in Angola, Unitel. Mm-hmm. So and after that, I come to the submarine cable industry.
Okay, all right. Wait, so you were born in Angola, grew up there, did you?
I was born in Angola. Yeah.
Okay, but you've traveled the world quite clearly. So SACS is coming. It's going to be live later this year. What does this mean for South Africans? You're a big investor in the WAX cable, so I presume you're going to be providing connectivity from SACS onto WAX and down to Cape Town and to other countries, I presume, also in on the West African coast. Maybe just take us through what your plans are there and how you plan to sell capacity on these systems to operators in these different countries, including South Africa.
Yes. Look, for the South African, we are already in South Africa. We are already selling into South Africa. And of course, one of the reasons that we are building this cable is also to provide connectivity to South Africa. So the big OTTs are coming to South Africa today. They are using only capacity on WAX. And we think with this cable, we have a completely new alternative route, even for themselves, okay? Because in Monet and on SACS, we have a huge amount of capacity, and we can provide now connectivity to these new data centers through these new systems, okay? Which is give a solution for the problems of capacity that starting today appearing on the long run. Because even the systems that are in the water now are starting to be compromised in terms of the capacity itself. We are doing upgrades, but still, okay? This is one thing that we could provide. The second one is that, of course, South Africa will have this capability to even have diversity route, okay, into the South American region. And, of course, we are promoting that a lot. The other very interesting thing is that South Africa was promoting some years ago a cable system called BRICS.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay. And this cable allowed BRICS to happen, because the piece that was missing for the BRICS system was the connectivity between South Africa and Brazil. And we can provide it already. So it means that for South Africa, for example, we can allow the BRICS system to be live, okay? Because if we join these systems with the other ones in the Indian coast, for the connectivity between South Africa and India is also, many cables are doing that. And then from India to China and Russia is also there. So we do can make happen that the BRICS system will be operational. And this is really a very big thing for South Africa.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you announced, I think just a few months ago, could have been at the beginning of the year, that you were going to deploy a point of presence in Cape Town.
Yeah, we have already. Yeah.
It's there already.
Yeah. Okay. It's operational.
All right. Okay. So just talk me through your plans for selling this capacity in the region. Are you establishing sales presences in the various markets? And you've already here in South Africa, but what about countries up in West Africa, along the West Coast, yeah, Cameroon, Nigeria, Ghana, all those places?
We are also developing that. So we have already a POP also in Nigeria. We have a POP in Cape Verde. And we are selling big trends of capacity into DRC and Congo. Mm-hmm. And now we are starting to move to other countries in the West Coast, at least to providing them connectivity from the IP transit perspective. And yeah, this is our objective, to develop a quite big IP transit delivery points in Africa. And this is our goal. This is really our core business, is doing that IP points of connectivity.
Do you play in terrestrial fiber at all?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Is there an opportunity there for you guys?
This is not really in our goals. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is to be on the POPs. And from that point on, we don't want to go further okay. down.
You leave it to other operators
yes.
to do that.
Yes. So we, of course, have to make partnerships with local operators. For example, in South Africa is one of the examples. We don't want to go deep into the South African region. What we want to be is to be on the POPs and selling to operators, because we are really a wholesale structure, you know. Yeah. So we are more based, and our view is more based on the submarine cables and on the intercontinental connectivity. Mm-hmm. So then we leave to the locals to make that, for us, the last mile.
Yes.
But for them, it's not really the last mile. But for us, we consider that the last mile.
Yeah. The reason I was asking was, I know Liquid Telecom has been focusing a lot on terrestrial fiber, but a lot of their focus seems to be on Central Africa, East Africa, and down to South Africa. What does the terrestrial fiber situation look like in between Angola, Namibia, and South Africa, for example? Is it well developed, or is there not much?
Look,
there?
In Angola, we have been developing a lot of fiber. Mm. Even when I was in the mobile operator, we developed more than 16,000 kilometers of fiber into Angola. So all the major cities have now three different routes of fiber optics in Angola. So we do have a quite bright infrastructure already installed. Probably still not being used in a proper way, because today the use of that fiber is really more for the operator himself, so they use for themselves. Mm-hmm. But we have now a new law in Angola that we have to be more or less obliged to make infrastructure sharing. So probably the local operators have to start to sell some of the capacity that they have installed into the fibers. And they probably will promote more connectivity into Angola. Oh,
interesting.
But we have connectivities to fiber into the borders of Namibia. Mm-hmm. The fiber is quite close into the borders of Zambia. And in the north also, I mean, the north is a quite a big problem, because Cabindes have this huge river in between.
Yes.
And that river is a very interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So that river have a canyon with more than 2,000 meters depth. Mm. Mm. Okay. And the delta of the river is very shallow. It's very, not shallow, it's very short. Is near to, what do you call that?
You mean it's wide at the mouth?
It's not wide.
It's not wide.
It's not
narrow.
Wide. It's narrow. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when you go to the Amazonas River, it's huge.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, because it's huge, the water doesn't go so deep. Uh-huh. So the Kenya of that delta is not that deep. This one, because it's narrow, it makes a huge, huge delta. So, for example, for submarine cable systems, it's impossible to build anything there.
Interesting.
Because they will cut the cable. We already installed, I think, two, and the cables was cut. So what we have to do...
By the river.
By the river.
So is there not a bridge over it? Is it too wide?
No, that's too wide for the bridge. But, I mean, it will be probably possible. We have a lot of oil and gas activities on that region. And even some platforms have been going down just because of the button that is always moving and changing.
Yes.
Okay. So to install a cable there, a submarine cable system, you have to go further out and coming in.
So WAX does that, for example, does it? Okay. Interesting.
And now you're studying in order to be able to connect Cabinda to the mainland with a proper connectivity. Otherwise, we have to go up for the east, okay? So where the river is shorter. But then it's not Angolan territory land anymore. So we have to go to the DRC in order to come back to Angola.
Okay. So what is the country directly north of Angola? Is that Congo Brazzaville?
Is DRC.
It's DRC.
Yes. Okay. The Congo is on the north.
Yeah.
And the DRC is on the east and on the south. Do you know the story about that?
I don't.
It's a very interesting story.
Tell us.
Because the delta of the river was Angolan territory. At the time, was Portuguese territory. Okay. And the Portuguese king, in fact, the Belgian king, was always paying a fee every time that they cross the delta of the river. Okay, and when they go to Brazzaville, they have to cross the river. So they change with the Portuguese king at the time, a piece of land with about 30 kilometers with a huge amount. What is Angola is a square, right?
Yes.
And then we have a small square into the east side of Angola. Yeah, okay, so we change, or they change at that time, the 30 kilometers with a huge amount of land. And that's the reason why Cabinda now is split from Angola, because we have a piece of 30 kilometers that separates the river in two for the two countries.
That's fascinating. I'm going to have to study a map after we finish this podcast.
But the funny thing is that part, what we call Mushiku, is one of our provinces. Is very, very, very rich with diamonds. So,
okay. Did the Belgians know that at the time?
No. They don't know that at that time.
So, Antonio, I wanted to ask you, you're going to be the first with a crossing across the South Atlantic, but there are other cable systems planned for this route.
Yep.
I think there's one that the Cameroonians are looking to build. There's also a company called Seaborne Networks out of the United States, which is looking to build one from Cape Town. And there's a further one as well called SAX, I think.
SAX.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to build all these cables? Is there a market for it?
Look, if it's a market for it, we don't know yet, okay? Because we still have, we don't have even the market for one cable yet, okay? But one of the things that make us quite happy was with the announcement of all these cables, because we were really alone on that project. But if four cables was announced, it's because really is a good probability to have business there. And when you have a single route with a single cable, or when you have a route with a single cable, you have problems of diversity.
Yeah.
So it means that if that cables are coming live, it's very good for SACS because at least we have a business case to promote, okay? Because people will buy in different cables, but they will use the road heavily, okay? Which is good for us. So it really, in fact, instead of we are in panic because we go to lose market, I think we are more secure because the market will be using that route properly.
Okay, so people would actually be more inclined to use you and a competitor.
Exactly.
Because there's diversity.
If you go, for example, every time that the big OTTs, and I'm keeping talking about the OTTs because they are wrapping the market, okay? So the big clients of submarine cable systems now are really OTTs. they are installing the data centers and the caches everywhere in the world. So, and the traffic becomes a lot of a local traffic loop.
Mm.
Okay. South Africa is one of the cases. So after they install the data centers here and the big caches, so the international connectivity drops a lot. Okay. So the OTTs are now providing that. Means that the OTTs are now the big clients for the submarine cable industry. And this is probably one of the reasons why they are building also cables.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I used to say to my telecom colleagues, we have to be worried because the OTTs are even going now down to the infrastructure, okay? Which is supposed to be handled by telecom operators.
So, Antonio, before we wrap up today, what is the future for Angola Cables? Where is the business going? Is there sufficient capacity, do you think, in terms of subsea cables around the African continent? Are there more opportunities to invest in new systems? And where's the business going beyond what you've done to date?
I think it's more opportunities to have more cables coming. We have already, we are starting to hear some rumors about new systems coming on. Because the demand of the traffic is also growing a lot. And in my opinion, we are just starting this new revolution. This new industrial revolution is only starting,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the demand of capacity will grow a lot. Of course, the prices are dropping, which is quite bad for us. But the demand in terms of digitalization is growing a lot. So I do think that the business itself will grow, okay? Because we'll use more and more and more data, okay? So where we are going is we want to stock into that particular areas of the cables. One of the things that we are doing today is starting to create competence in the cable system itself. So we have now a bunch of engineers that have been following up all our projects. And we are able today to make even small maintenance into our systems already. So now we got a maintenance issue in WAX in Angola, and we have developed that maintenance by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are also moving a little bit, not only to the telecom areas, but in terms of competence of submarine cable industry. So that if we now, for example, another thing that is coming up is that the oil industry is starting to use heavily the communications in terms of cables. And we are an oil and gas country, okay? So we got to promote also the interconnection of these platforms and to use the Amata Brighter telecom capabilities, because we can also promote other industries to come up.
Mm. You mentioned you've got a data center you're building a data center in Fortaleza. You have one already in Luanda. What is the purpose of those data centers? Are they simply there to interconnect networks, or do you see them being used in future to provide a host cloud infrastructure, for example?
It is.
It is already?
It is already. Mm-hmm. So we are starting already moving to the cloud. Okay. Because in terms of understanding for ourselves, cloud is not more than connectivity. Okay. So if it's connectivity, you have to get points where you join people to use that cloud. And since we are also an IP provider, with this IP provider, we can bring the cloud to our customers. So it makes a lot of sense for us to have a point where we can aggregate that cloud. In fact, is where we can aggregate the content. Okay? And these contents could be clouds, but could be also other things. So today, for example, people still in a phase to move the media contents from the satellites to the networks, to the interconnected networks. And these data centers could be a quite interesting point for that joining of content.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, great. Antonio, this has been a fascinating discussion. I'm glad we finally got to catch up, and hopefully we'll chat again on a podcast in the not-too-distant future. And I look forward to seeing the impact that the SAX cable has when it goes live later this year. Antonio Nunes is CEO of Angola Cables. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you.